Oh, my files. All right. How's everyone doing? Good? Happy Sabbath, everyone. Happy Sabbath. I'm so glad to be here with you. Brother was actually saying, my wife is at the Spanish church. They have today is an adventure investors day, and so they have 15 little ones, and most of them are not even from our church, our Spanish church. They're from the community, friends and stuff like that. So I am very excited for that because it's a process. You know, I know that we want those kids eventually to end up where? In our school. Amen? And so them beginning this ministry with adventurers and all those little ones, hopefully those little kids will be able to not only be in our school, but also bring their parents along with them and in the church and all that. So pray for them. It's a process, and I thank my wife. Even though she's not here, but I thank her because she took that upon herself to be able to mentor somebody and help them start that group. And so that's why she's over there and not here today with me. So we have some exciting things. Number one, California was beautiful, but Washington, hands down, is much better. One of the things I always used to say and promote was that Southern was the best. But I learned that in the reality, you can't always say that because then you're always going to see something bigger and beautiful. And so Loma Linda is beautiful. As you go up the little hill, the little Loma, in Spanish is Loma, you see this beautiful hospital. And so I was very, very impressed with the campus and the whole thing. I was kind of proud of being an Adventist. I was like, wow, that's what, you know, as far as our history, you know, it's all there. And so I was very impressed, and I was like, I'm glad I'm an Adventist. And I walked into their chapel, and I learned that chapel, even though it was like three times bigger than this, it's not their only chapel. They have a church next door that sits more people. I was like, wow, this is, yeah, it just wowed me a lot. And I got the opportunity to take two classes there that I think are going to help us in the future. The first one was Revelation. And I got to learn a lot of things about Revelation that I had to dislearn to relearn. And so hopefully in our classes that we'll be having pretty soon downstairs for a prayer meeting, we'll be going over the book of Revelation. Amazing, amazing. And so one day I'll kind of preach about that. And the other one was church growth. Amen? Church growth, my friends. As we look at our church today and we look at the pews, a lot of empty pews, right? And so one of the things that they were, you know, they are trying to, I guess, incorporate within my curriculum is, how do we get these pews full again? How do we get people coming into our church again? Whether it's those that left us and haven't come back after COVID or pre-COVID or whatever, post-COVID now, or those that have never been sitting here in one of these pews in this church. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about that because today I want to initiate what is our week of evangelism that we're going to have, or half a week of evangelism that we're going to have. It starts November 3rd and it ends November 6th. And so it is kind of something, it's a springboard. It's a springboard in getting our church again, trying to be able to get this past COVID section or area or time and kind of move forward. We have a lot of things that we can do as a church for our community. Now more than ever, our community does need us, as there are a lot of questions out there of, you know, whether it's politics, whether it's economy, whatever it is, a lot of people have a lot of questions. And later on, I'll kind of tell you a little bit, a testimony that I have for you guys in regards to that. And so this Serpentine, it's called Serpentine Prophecy, for those that were able to see the poster outside, and soon we'll be getting the banner up here in the front. But this particular series is about what's going on behind the scenes. And when I say that is because we know what the politicians are doing and what they say they'll do and they don't do, and we know where the economy is going and how it just, you know, it's unstable. We know a lot of things that are happening because we see it, right? We see it on the news all the time. But what's happening behind the closed doors, the things that we don't see, right? How is this great controversy really rolling out in front of us? And are we awake to see that? And so a lot of our friends in our community don't know that. They don't know what's going on. They're confused. And maybe you don't know what's going on. And so that's a possibility too. And so the reason I'm calling out is because I want us to be able to reach out to our community today and be able to invite our community to come to this week, semi-week of evangelism. The topics, the incredible thing is that it does have to do with spiritualism, which is what we don't see. And what's going to happen October 30th, right? Halloween, right? Those days of Halloween and all that. And so I think it ties in very well with, I didn't plan it that way, but it just happens to be that we decided to do it now. And so it ties in very well with what's happening around this town during this period. So I thought that was very interesting. And so I wanted to show you a couple videos. The first one is what we've had posted on our Facebook page, which is the promo, so that you guys can kind of see a little bit of that. Let me go ahead and, no, that's the map of Brewster. Let's see if we can get the promo here. If I can get the volume. Let's see. All right. Okay. If I get the value from the HDMI cable, that'd be great.
A disturbing thread tying the present to the past. Whispers from age-old tombs. Things that move behind the shadows. Are there dark influences? Unspoken forces that have been quietly driving us from the dawn of civilization? Where are they trying to take us? The Serpentine Prophecy. The story you weren't supposed to hear.
So this production has been really thought out, and I really love the themes and everything that it has. This is a little message from our day as far as promoting and a message to you, the church. From
Hey, Sean here at the Voice Sean. Of Prophecy. As your church approaches the opening presentation of this important series, The Serpentine Prophecy, we've been praying right along with you that God will bless every aspect of your meetings. Your church leadership has been planning and preparing, and I'd like you to consider something very important that will help your meetings be even more successful. Who is God placing on your heart to invite to join you at the Serpentine Prophecy? This topic, it's incredibly important. And the way my team and I have put these meetings together, it's going to be something you'll be proud to share with your neighbors and friends. So I want to ask you, take a few moments to prayerfully consider who the Spirit might be impressing you to invite. Write their name down on a piece of paper or in your phone or somewhere, and then take the opportunity and extend that person an invitation this week. You'll be glad you did.
Amen. All right. So I have, this is like kind of like where we can actually sign up. Either you sign up to be able to share a name, maybe in your, if you have a name or a person that you want us to pray for, or if you are you going to attend an event, and also if you want to invite a friend, you know, we definitely want to pray for that friend. So I'm going to give this to Joel. Joel, if you can hand these out to our members here today. I appreciate it. Anybody else that would like to help Joel on this side? I don't know. Jim, would you be able to? Thanks. Appreciate it. And so if you can check that off and maybe write that person's name, we will pray for your for the individual, pray for the event. If you want to volunteer, also, this is where you can state that you would like to volunteer. Okay. Beautiful. So as we see here, this is the map of what, guys? Of Brewster. Do you guys see where our church is pinpointed there in the red? You see that? Okay. So I have printed out some maps as well. And what I would like to do today is invite y'all. I don't know if you've received the message last night. But I would like to invite y'all to come today at 2. 1400 hours, right? That's two. A las dos. And be able to help us hand out door to door, be able to hand out an invitation to our friends in our neighborhood. Okay? We also have door hangers in case they're not there, they're not home, or they don't open up. They might think we're Jehovah's Witnesses. We can leave them a door hanger, and I would like for you to pray on that invitation. Okay? And so I need three groups, okay? Three groups, maybe groups of six or four, whichever way you would like to look at it. But we have three areas that I would like for us to work. And the first area is, of course, our street, okay? And as you can see there, where we're at, our street has a couple of houses across, you know, across this way and that way. But then it also has that little curve where the hospital way is. So you might have to get on in your vehicle or take the nice walk, you know, get some exercise. And then on that curve where there's a vehicle, there's about 12 houses. 12 houses, I counted them. There's about 12 houses, maybe a little bit more because some of them are hidden with the trees and all that. That's this area over here. You see down here, before you get to that, down the hill, that area right there where it says 7th Street North and it's hospital way. That little area right there, right in front of the hospital, it has roughly about 12 houses. And so for those that can do that, that'd be great. I'll be joining one group there. And then the other group, I would like for them to, there is some houses up here on this street as well. For those that can, you can drive and do this as well, and maybe do two houses and then have somebody drive you. And so on. And then the last group is across the street from us, down on the hill, where it says Plaza Way Northeast, where our sister lives, Karen's sister lives around that area there. There is one, two, three, four street, five streets. They're all cul-de-sacs, that area right here. And again, I have this all in a map, but I just like to, once people volunteer, I like to write it down. And we will be going ahead and handing out that literature there, okay, and that invitation there. And those are the three areas that I would like to focus on today, okay, and that would be at 2 o'clock. So if you brought your lunch, amen. If you didn't bring your lunch, that's okay, because I didn't either. So we'll be fasting together. So that's that. And I wanted to kind of go over, like, what we don't do in evangelism when we try to give these, okay? I want to give us a lesson. I think this is a perfect example of maybe, I don't know, you take a look.
Oh, there's a spot. Perfect. Thank you, Lord. Provided. God bless you guys. Barista, what's going on? God bless you. Hey, how's it going, man? I want the normal, my usual.
Yeah, actually, we have a couple girls in line already. If I could just get you to move to the back, and I'll help you as soon as I'm done with them.
Sorry about that. Last will be first, first will be last. Dude, Do you go to church at all? Do you go to church at all? So do you go to church at all? Hey, is this seat open? Hey, is this seat available? Dude, I just want to knock out some devos real quick. Spend some time with Jesus. I woke up kind of late this morning. Yeah, come on, let's go over. Let me sit down. I just want to share something from God's word. He hit me up in my devos this morning. I was like, I got to share this. Genesis 1:1. Thirsty, huh? Getting some water?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know the living water. I was noticing that you're drawing some stuff over here. Back before when I wasn't a Christian, I was making so much money as a graphic designer. You been born again? And you need to quit walking in the flesh. I mean, obviously you don't really know God, your tattoos, and you know, in your ear and stuff. If you don't start out the day by just bathing yourself in prayer, the day doesn't even go that well. You're not realizing that there is a God. He sent Jesus to die for you. Why don't you see that? And in chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, I just would go to these crazy parties. It was crazy. Well, I mean, just cash like crazy, but I've left all that behind. Now I'm a Christian. You can't live life without God.
He's not real.
He's here.
I can't
see
him.
I'm just not getting through to you. God is real.
I can't touch him.
Yeah, you can't touch Africa, but Africa exists. I just have to say, I'm blessed. Too blessed to be stressed by the devil's mess. What's holding you back from committing your life to Jesus Christ? It's probably the sin in your life is what's going on. Scared? Hell is scary. Why don't you look at that girl right there? Look at her. She's going to die. Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. She's going to die. If you're to die, where do you think you would go? Man, that sounded hot. I wonder how hot hell is. Hopefully you don't go there. Oh, this is good. The New Testament is so just applicable. Have you guys noticed this? Hey, you gotta be washed by the blood of the Lamb. I mean, so that you are justified, sanctified, future glorified. I mean, this is amazing. You gotta come out.
Do you drive a Volkswagen?
Yeah, I do. But regardless, man, you gotta come to church. Hey, remember what I said? Hell is scary.
Okay. Now that was a little bit exaggerating, right? I don't think anyone here would do that type of evangelism and sharing the gospel, right? But the reality is that sometimes we are judgmental. You know, sometimes we just judge by just watching or seeing and thinking, oh, that person doesn't need it. Oh, they'll never come to church. My friends, there are people out there that are eager to know of this gospel. And so please keep in mind, right? Keep in mind that this is not for you. This is for the Lord, all right? This is for the Lord. And have an open mind and open heart. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in y'all. So that will be at 2:00 today. And hopefully you guys can join us and we can have a decent group to go out and serve this area. Amen? Oh, come on. Amen? All right. Amen. Okay. So I'm going to try to be quick with our sermon today. Given that we, you know, we really want to go out there and do this evangelism. And where did I put? There we go. The title is The Time Is Tomorrow. The time is what? Ahora, now. The time is now. And so I really believe that time is an essence. You know, sometimes we think we don't have enough time, okay? We wish we had more time in the day. But you know what? If we would have had more time in the day, do you think we really would use that time wisely? Probably not. We'd probably say, you know what? I'm going to hit that snooze button just for another hour, right? If you knew you had an hour extra a day. And so the reality is that the time is now. The time is now for us, you know, to be able to be this church to this community. Let's talk a little bit about time. So okay. Time facts. Time fact number one. Every person on earth is living in the past. Why are the people living in the past? Well, our brains, right, it does not perceive events until about 80 milliseconds until after it happened or they happen, the events happen. So we're living a little bit in the past. Right now, we're living in the past. We think we're living like in the present and all that. But according to scientists and our brains, that's how it functions. So every person on earth is living in the past. Time fact number two. Throughout history, different cultures around the world have experienced time in different ways. Okay? So what we experience as time here, for example, and I'll give you a perfect example, being here in the United States of America, even in, like, for example, New York, all right? If you live in New York, everything is go, 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 go. There's no, time just goes by so fast. And so culturally, they're used to that. Whereas maybe if you go to New York to live there, you think, oh man, why is everybody such in a rush? Yeah, it's because culturally that's what they experience. Even if, for example, when I moved down to Tennessee, it was the complete opposite. Everybody took their time. There was not this rush thing, and everybody had, you know, wanted to say hi to you when they walked down, and everybody expected to have a little conversation with you. And so it was just completely different, okay? Completely different, as we see time does affect history. In the Western world, we tend to think of time as a linear and flowing from left to right, but this isn't the case for everyone. Language affects how people conceptualize time, particularly the spatial metaphors used to describe and map it. So that is very true. Time facts. Number three is individual can experience time differently as well. Have you ever been, for those that are test takers and students in at school, right? When you have this teacher and she just talks like this and she's just like, today's class is going to be about the frog. And so you know that what's going to happen with your time? You keep looking at the clock and it doesn't seem to go up fast enough, right? You're like, please, Lord, help me here. Or maybe the pastor is taking his time too and explaining 10 million stories. And so it happens. You're looking at the clock and you're like, it doesn't go fast enough. Whereas maybe if you enjoy a program, right? Let's say a television show of some sort, you can spend binge watching over the next episode, the next, because that's what Netflix allows you to do, keeps watching the next one, the next one, the next one, and next thing you know, you spend 6 hours in front of a television or in front of your phone or in front of, you know, Facebook, whatever it is, right? You're like, whoa, where did my time go? Well, that happens a lot because when you're focused on something, like a big work project or a party, your brain pays less attention to how time passes. But when you're bored, or your brain is less stimulated, you become aware of the passing time, making it feel slower. Okay, so that is that definitely is true. I think we can all identify with that. And number four is we can thank the railroad system, okay, for our industry for standardizing our time zones. There was a point where all the trains, you know, even though they'll say, oh, this train will arrive at this time and that time, well, eventually, because of the time, they weren't aware of like time zones. They didn't have anything like that. They went by lunar time. And so everybody was thrown off. And so what we would say, oh yeah, we'll get to the East Coast by this time. Well, no. In the East Coast, they're like, well, why hasn't they arrived? Because it was just, the times were off. And so in November 18th, 1883, railroad companies in the United States and Canada began using a system very similar to what we use today, which is with time zones. And we were able to have an actual kind of fix that problem that we had. And now we use it for not just the railroad system, but for flying, for just travel, every aspect of our lives now where we use this. So thanks to that, we're now all in sync in the same time. Okay. And so I think in being in sync in the same time, it really also allows us to see this particular verse here in which I like to introduce to you today. Mark 1:14-15 says, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee and preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, what? The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in what? In the gospel, the good news. Amen. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about this particular phrase that Jesus states when he says, the time is fulfilled. Okay, the time is fulfilled. The time, right? When we look at that word time, there are two variations in the Bible when it comes to time, when you translate the word time. The first one that we kind of know is the word chronos. Right? Chronos. Where do we get chronos from? Where do we use chronos, the word chronos from? Anybody? Chronological order or, right, chronology or... So, chronos is the quantitative measured time. Okay, that's where we utilize this time. What is measured? So, you have, you know, from, for example, we like to use historicism. So, we have a timeline, right? And we say from A to B, and then we have the middle, right? sometimes, but we have this kind of like quantitative of time. And then that's the first one, chronos. But did you know there was a second one? The second one is very unique because it is utilized mostly in the New Testament. Okay, it is utilized mostly and it is very unique. And this one is kairos. Kairos is a point in time or a period in time. It's more what? Specific, right? It is more specific in time. And why is this important? Why is this so important? Because, you know, chronos, okay, you have a measured time, but this one is specific in time. It's very important because when we look at the verse, right, what is Jesus saying here? He's saying that the time, kairos, this appointed time, this particular time, this event, this one thing, which is whom is he referring to, it is himself, right? He is, right, the gospel. He is time. I mean, he didn't just come just because. This is a very important fulfilling that they've been waiting for, and he's proclaiming this. He is stating this. He says that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Wow. My friends, there's a lot of individuals that, you know, they look at Jesus as a humanitarian, okay? They look at Jesus as a good person, someone that was good in the Bible, or at some point of time, right? But to make emphasis to this, Jesus states that the time is fulfilled, meaning that something that was fulfilled, meaning that it was already what? It was prophesied. It was stated before his time, okay? Before his time. And if we really put it into perspective in the great controversy, okay, we're talking about that this was discussed before we were even created, okay? Because Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, time does not encompass them. They're not, nothing stops them when it comes to time. They're endless. They're Alpha and Omega, right? And so this is so important as he discusses with the disciples and he tells them this great news. So as we look at our time today and see what's going on in our world, we have to be conscious of the times that we're living in. No? We have to understand that the times that we're living in, if Jesus said that the kingdom was at hand in his time, what does that mean to us today? What does that mean to you today? What does that mean to me today? If Jesus said at his time, the kingdom of God was at hand. That means that, my friends, that means that he is knocking at the door of our hearts, at your heart, at my heart, and at the hearts of the people in our community. Based on what's going on today, as Adventists, we have to look at it this way. Because of the kingdom of God is at hand near an Adventist church near you, what must we do? Okay, if we look at it as an Adventist, as people of God, what must we do with this message of the kingdom of God being at hand, being there for you to grasp, being there for you to be able to share with others, something that is tangible? What is it that we ought to do? And so I hope that at the Adventist church near you, we repent and believe, not just in the good news, but what? The best news ever. This is the best news ever. And so it shocks me a lot of times because sometimes I myself don't live like this is the best news ever. I get caught up with time here in this world and I forget about this best news ever, about the kingdom of God being at hand. You're like, well, Pastor, how can you do that? You know, this is what you... It should live for. This is your job. Your job is to remember. Well, let me tell you something. We all have what's called a life, right, down here. And that life affects us because of time. Time does affect us. And I have feelings just like you guys do. And I go through the motions just like you guys do. There's nothing different. I'm no different than you are. Okay? The only difference that I may have is the fact that, it's a little more on me to be a spiritual guide for you, to be able to train you, to be able to equip my people, okay? But besides that, we're all on the same playing field when it comes to spreading the gospel. And so one thing I've learned, especially in these classes, is that, Jesus, when he came and spoke about this time, there's a couple of things that really stuck out to me regarding this. Number one, we have so many assumptions in regards to, Jesus coming, and so I'm not ready. And we put all these, like, excuses of being in what is the time in receiving this kingdom of Christ, okay? Number one, we have to drop those assumptions, and we have to somehow, some way, find a way to repent and believe, okay? Those are the basics a lot of times. But, this basic, a lot of times, it does take a process, okay? What I love about our God, that especially Jesus speaking to his disciples, is that he knew that his disciples overnight, he knew that his disciples were not going to convert, okay? They were waiting for a kingdom. They were waiting to be part of something very special. They were waiting for the physical kingdom to come and to, overtake this Roman Empire. And let me tell you something. There are many Christians today that believe the same thing. They believe that the United States of America, being the power that it is, that we're supposed to make everything in the world better, and that we're going to get better, and that everything's going to turn over, and we're going to sing Kumbaya and hold hands because the whole world is going to become Christian overnight. That's what a lot of the Christian people out there believe, okay? They believe in this process, but the process that the kingdom is here, okay? Other denominations are on board with this, the evangelical world, everything. They're all on board on this. But that's not what Scripture tells us, and we know that. And so we know that it's a process. Because it's a process, we have to get out of our minds, just like Jesus was trying to get out of the minds of the disciples, that the kingdom is not here, okay? The kingdom of, it's not the physical world here, okay? This is a spiritual world that we're talking about. The warfare is a spiritual one, okay? Yes, we still have to battle certain battles down here and deal with down here on earth, but our eyes are always fixed on Jesus. Our eyes are always fixed on God, on his kingdom, not ours. And so when we speak, to those we have to be aware when we speak to others out here and they say, well, they open a door and they say, well, I go to church. I go to church. I don't need to come to your event. Oh, that's okay. But let me pray for you. Ask them, let me pray for you. Is there anything that I can pray for you? Amen. Amen, brother. Amen, sister. I'm glad that you believe in Christ. But let me pray for you. Let us pray together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Because sooner or later, they have to understand that this process needs to start now. The time is now for it to start. It starts with us, but then we have to also share the good news. The other thing when we start this process is we have to observe within ourselves. We have to take a look back and say, wow, why was I here? What was going on in my life? What was going around me? And so we have to take an observation, because assumptions a lot of times, let me tell you, I've assumed a lot of times, and my assumptions a lot of times are wrong, okay? My assumptions are a lot of times wrong. And so right now, for example, I'll give you a perfect example. When I was a child, and I looked at things in a certain way, I do not look at things as when I was a child. Speaking of my past and my past sins and things that I've done and all this, I can't look at it the same. It's different. And so I have to repent. I have to repent from that stuff and believe that repentance, whatever it was that was causing me, through the process, I have to observe what I have. And then once I observe it and I say, I don't want to be in this environment. I don't want to be in this. I have to reflect and make a decision. I have to reflect on that and say, okay, if I was here and now I want to move away from there because I have to repent and believe in the kingdom, then now I have to reflect on this. Why is it that I keep falling into the same thing over and over again? What is the stronghold on me? What is holding me back? And so we have to ask those questions. We have to reflect on those questions. The next one is discuss. And I say discuss because a lot of times When I say discuss, this has to be a conversation between you and God and maybe someone else that you might trust that is that has been in church for a while. And so we have to discuss this situation and take action with it. You know, a lot of times we as Adventists, we like to discuss and that's where it stays. We know that we can be better. We know that we can go out and do God's will. We know that we have the capabilities. But a lot of times what we do is we just discuss, and that's where it just stays, at the table. It just doesn't go nowhere, okay? I'm hoping that as we are approaching the time in which we understand that we're living in, okay, based off the word of God, not based off of what some guy predicted or what he calculated. No, just based off the word of God, based off of what we're observing, you know, in our time. If Jesus said that was the time that was fulfilled, and he's saying that the kingdom of God was already there, then what does that mean for us now and today? So we have to put all that in perspective and say, then that means that Jesus is really coming soon. Now, given that, we take that discussion and we put some actions and words to it. And so James 2:26 came to mind. It says, "For as the body without the what? The spirit is dead." And so because the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You know, we can say we believe, a lot of people believe in Jesus. But we have to understand that also our works may reflect that we believe Jesus. If I say I believe in Jesus and I accept him as my personal savior, and I was a killer back then, right? And now I believe in Jesus, but I still go and kill. Does that reflect the fact that I believe in Jesus when Jesus says, "Thou shalt not kill"? Of course not. I have to put the works in effort. And it's a combination of both. My salvation comes through faith alone. But that has to show that I believe, okay? Others have to see that I believe. My works also depend on the fact that my faith is put into action, okay? My faith has to be put into action. I was thinking of going somewhere else with this, but I'll stick to the script for the lack of time. Okay. Number two, I want to talk about this. Getting into the learning circle. So every single time that we repent and believe and we accept to walk with Jesus, there is this circle of what I like to call from believe and repent that you will continue to learn on, okay? And so this particular circle, I call it the learning circle. I don't want to take credit for this. This actually came from my boss that we went to a retreat not too long ago, and he kind of showed this learning circle. And my boss being Eric Brown, sorry. And so he showed us his learning circle, and I really thought, you know, I've seen others as well, but this one really sat well with me. You know, that observing, reflecting, the plan or the discussion and the accountability and then the act, right? So it's a process. Sometimes what happens is that in the process, we kind of go backwards instead of going forwards. You know, we'll observe and say, "Yeah, man, I have to change this. I have to, you know, surrender this to Jesus," right? Because I've already tried doing it by myself and I just can't, right? But let me reflect on it. And we'll continue in this kind of like going backwards and going forward. But we have to always have this plan of looking forward to, how do I get out of this? How do I put my faith into action? And so this learning circle really helps you as you observe, you know, observe your sin and where you're at in life and what is keeping you away from being 100% sold on the kingdom of heaven. You know, I don't know about you, but I am dying. I'm dying inside, and it's a, you know, metaphorically speaking, I'm dying inside to just have this all finish and go home. Okay, this is not my home. And so I'm asking you guys, my thing is I'm asking you guys, are you ready to go home? Because a lot of times what we do is we have, like I say, four ways out of the Kairos moment. Out of this time right now today, you have an option. Either you decide to accept the kingdom of God and move forward and use and get involved in this circle of being able to progress in your Christian life and do something, let your faith show and shine, not for your glory, but for the glory of God, or you decide to run ahead and say, this is not for me, bye, circle, and just run. Run. Don't allow it to catch you. You know, a lot of people tend to do that. They tend, whenever they hear the truth, it's just like, they just dart. They're like, this is not for me. And so God continues to call on you and call on us. And so it is very important. The other one is, let's go back here. The other one is retreat. Instead of going forward and running ahead, you retreat. You might want to get into the circle, but you say, not today, not my time. This is not my time yet. Let me think about it. Let me just think about it. And you might do that. The other one is freeze. The gospel comes to you and you just freeze. I say, this is very important. This is I'm about to do this, but I don't know what if I should and I shouldn't, and you have this battle within yourself. Like the battle of saying, I know I should come and help Pastor pass out these flyers. I'm not putting a guilt trip on you guys, but I'm just saying. And you just freeze. You want to. Something in your heart tells you should, right? Because you should. But at the same time, you're freezing because you're like, I don't know. I got some things to do today or whatever. And so you freeze. The next one I want to bring about is because this is it goes with these three that are here. This is what really happens if we allow not the time to pass us or run away from it or get frozen and all this. This is what happens to those that allow us. And this is what scares me as a minister. It scares me as a person, as an individual, okay, as a follower of Christ. And I'm sorry if you cannot read it there because the screen is so big, but I'll read it for you. 2 Timothy 3:1-5 says, but understand this, that in the last days there will come what? Times of difficulty. Now this is in Timothy's time, okay? For people will be lovers of what? Of self. Lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, and not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of what? Coming to church every Sabbath, looking nice and spiffy and smiling at everybody, looking godliness. It's okay to smile and come spiffy and looking nice and taking a shower and looking good. It's okay. I'm not saying that's bad. But the appearance of godliness, my friends, it says, but denying its power. Avoid such people. Wow. And so this really took, when I was reading this, I was like, I've read it before, but putting into this, this is the times that we are living in. And the last two is, now the Spirit expressly says that in the later times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teaching of demons. Because what are we putting our time in? If we don't put our time in our faith and our works, to back up our faith, then what are we putting our time in? Well, it says here in 1 Timothy that we are devoting themselves to deceitful and spirits and teachings of demons. And you're like, well, I don't read anything or I don't do anything. That's my friends. The devil is active. If you think that if God has a plan for you, don't you think also the devil has a plan for you as well? One day I will talk about how demons and I know we're in church and everything, but how demons you have for every sin that you fall into, for every little thing that you do that sets you apart from, distance you from God, because you're not surrendering that to God. For everyone, there's an assigned demon to that. So if yours is gluttony or greediness, there's a demon assigned to that. And if you have lustful thoughts, there's a demon assigned to that. Can you imagine how many demons you can have assigned to you to attack you every day? So we need to put our faith into works. Okay, we need to put our faith into works so that we won't be distracted by these things, by these deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, because it doesn't come like a demon and it all comes up to you, it's like, rah, and he just scares you. No, he comes through your television. He comes through the music. He comes through different forms and attacks you little by little. Oh, there's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with that. And then next thing you know, you're trapped in a situation that you cannot get out of. Amen, because we have a Christ that's more powerful than these demons. And today he has brought the kingdom at hand and is willing to liberate you and I. It says, for they all seek their own interests and not those of Jesus Christ. And so we have to kind of put it in perspective and say, wow, Lord, I need to be part of this circle, because there are so many things out there that are willing to attack me. So entering the learning circle is what is going to allow us to continue to grow in Christ, to accept that kingdom, and to move forward. And so we have to ask today ourselves the right question. The question of the day is, what are we going to do? Are we going to just sit back and not take notion of what's going on around us and just make it all about ourselves? Because if we do, then look where we're going to end up, according to 2 Timothy. Or are we going to take action and be able to, you know, put our faith into that particular action, into works? And so it's very important. I'm not saying that we're saved through our works, my friends. Don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is that we actions speak louder than words. And so we have to ask ourselves, why does this always happen to me? Okay? A lot of times we wonder why things are happening to us, and it's because God is trying to speak to your heart and my heart. You know, I had a particular case where I was going to tell you a little testimony. I had a particular case this week that I actually shared with my elders. And how can I move forward? And this really touched my heart, because it made me see the necessity, the need for being able to preach the gospel, being able to share with others. I was working in my office, was hungry one day, and I said, you know what, let me go and get something real quick at Subway. And so I ran to Subway. Oh, I didn't run, because I can't run that far. But I did take the car to Subway, and I went over there, and I was in a hurry because I wanted to get back to what I was doing. I was really into what I was doing. And I'm just like pacing, and finally it was my turn, and the lady comes up, and she's like, oh, how can I help you? And I said, yes, you know, and I started ordering myself, and she goes, oh, tell me again, what is it that you do? What's your name again? And I said, oh, my name is Omar. And she goes, oh, okay. And she's like, so what, you know, I'm a pastor of the three churches here in this kind of area, the Spanish and the English and one in Chelan. And she goes, oh, okay. And she kind of smiled. And I was like, does she know anybody in the church? Like, in my mind, but I didn't want to ask her, because that would have put me in having a conversation with her. I'm just being honest. I was building a barrier. So I didn't follow through, okay? I didn't follow through. Bad pastor, I know. I didn't follow through. So I'm about to pay, and I realize I didn't have my wallet because I left so fast. And I'm like, oh, wait, I think I left my wallet. And I wasn't too sure if I left it in the car or if I left it in church. And as I'm telling her this, I was like, give me 1 second, and I pull out my phone, because I can also use my phone. I put information there so that you can use your phone to pay. And as I'm, you know, trying to do this quick, because there's a line there, and, you know, I'm backing up the line. I'm trying to look for the line, and I found the credit card that I wanted to use, and I was about to pay. She comes and places her phone before mine and pays for me. And I don't know, but, you know, and I'm not saying that I'm like a giver or anything like that, but usually I'm the one that does the giving a lot of times. You know, I love to give. I'm the type of person that's just something, a part of me that I love doing. And whenever I can give, I love to give. I love to help people out. That's just a part of me. And so when you receive that, okay, like one thing is, like, one of you guys pay for me, and I wouldn't feel as bad. I'm just telling you, I wouldn't feel as bad, okay? Because I know you. You're my friend. That's what friends do, right? I would pay for you. You would pay for me. But this is a complete stranger. A complete stranger that took out her money, you know, and paid. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure that what she paid for me is what she makes per hour. Okay? oh, that just sat with my heart. Because it made me think that for a minute, I had the opportunity to tell her about our church, to tell her about something about this week or whatever. And I missed that opportunity. And here comes God and just slaps me in the face. Slaps me in the face and says, you know, I'm going to show you. And it just made me think about, you know, being able to really reach out to people that are in dire need. And so when I asked her, I said, do you know the churches? Do you know the churches? She's like, yeah, I know both churches. I know people from both churches. I don't know how she knows it. Maybe you guys have bought Subway there too or whatever, and maybe I have spoken to her. But it was just amazing to know that she was able to and willing to do that. There's so many people out there that are looking for the gospel. Not the good news, the great news. And so this is the time, more than ever, to be able to share it with others. How many of you would like to share the gospel with others? I hope that question, amen, out there back there, amen. Let us pray and allow, you know, maybe we need the gospel first. You know, maybe the thing is that we need the gospel first. You know, every day we need to die self, amen. And so maybe today you need the gospel, you need the great news in your life, knowing that God has taken the time to come here and handle business so that you and I can be liberated today. So you and I don't have to be in a vicious cycle. We could be in an eternal cycle of his love, of his kingdom here to come. Let us pray. Dear God, we ask you desperately to give us the opportunity to share the gospel with others. Father, we may have come today in desperate need of the gospel as well. Maybe we had a really rough week, Father, and we haven't been able to see mercy or grace. Maybe we had bad news, and we just need some good news, and so some great news. And so we're thankful and grateful that you've come to fulfill what you've said you were going to come and fulfill. Thank you for being that awesome God and sending your son, Jesus, to sacrifice himself for not just the good people, but also the bad people like myself and others. Thank you for shedding that light to the world, for allowing us to see your love through people that sometimes we take for granted and we don't think that they want to hear of the gospel, of the great news. Preach to us, Father. Reach our hearts, the depths of our hearts, and allow us to see that it's definitely worth it coming into your kingdom. Father, we love you. Forgive us for falling short of your glory. And allow us every single day, starting today, to die self and put Christ in number one in our lives. We love you and we thank you. And so we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.